This is Dr. Charles Parker, and you're listening to Core Brain Journal. It's a place where I connect both fresh discoveries and interesting different perspectives from advanced mind science with the realities of real people and everyday life down on Main Street. Welcome, folks. Dr. Charles Parker here one more time at Core Brain Journal, and we have a guest tonight who's going to really take us out on the edge of things, who's going to talk about things the way they are evolving in mind science instead of the way they were yesterday. So it's a real privilege to introduce Mike Greenberg, Dr. Mike Greenberg, to our audience. Thanks for joining us tonight, Mike.
Thank you.
So I'm going to read a little bit about Mike as an intro, and then he's going to tell us about himself, and we'll go on down the road. I'm looking forward to hearing what Mike has to say. He began his career in Los Angeles as Dr. Mike, and he built his reputation as an outstanding care provider there in L.A., and he took care of a number of celebrities. And Mike also appeared on national TV. He started publishing articles on achieving optimum health and has given workshops around the country for his peers on a number of subjects. In 1996, he was awarded a U.S. patent for his multivitamin and herbal formula. So he's been deep into things that could be productively helpful. His affinity for community found him providing voluntary care for runaway teens in LA. That would have been an interesting tour, because I can imagine the LA situation with teens, and I mean, it's a serious metro area. And then in addition to that, he began more recently addressing allergies to food and medication. And so we're going to probably hear something about that tonight. So he also achieves extraordinary results for migraines and fibromyalgia, something that everybody else kind of writes off as like, we can't do anything about it, we just have to throw pain meds at him. And so his techniques are gentle, safe, and effective. So Mike, thank you very much again for joining us. Tell us a little bit about yourself personally. What are you doing now? What's your practice like? Let's go at it.
Well, first we have to go back a little bit. Okay. Because to start where I'm at now, that would be like going into higher calculus or something like that. You know, I started as a chiropractor, moving bones and joints. And I remember back in the late 1980s, scientists were looking to prove the mind-body connection. And I remember thinking that possibly that was a waste of time. I looked in the mirror. I had a full-length mirror in my office. I looked in the mirror. I looked at my head, and I could see that my head was connected to my body. So for me, it was a foregone conclusion. Now, I understand the scientists were well-meaning, but I kind of felt like some things might just take us in a circle. And I would say in early 1990, 91, I learned a technique called NET, neuroemotional technique. And that's a technique to dissolve emotional triggers and buttons. It's when feelings from our childhood or young adulthood get trapped in our body. And that's important because often these unresolved feelings is what actually drives the mind. We're always thinking that the mind is driving the body, but rarely do we think that the emotions or situations from childhood that have not been completely cleared out would be driving our mind in the present. I'll give you an example. You're joking around with a friend. You say something funny, and your friend gets like really upset and gets angry at you. And you're kind of like, what's the matter? I was just kidding. And he goes, oh, that was like mean or something like that. And you're kind of like going, I don't understand why his button got pushed. Mm-hmm. But it's because something that happened most likely in his childhood that was activated or triggered with the statement, with the joke. So I've seen people go for psychological counseling, psychiatry for 10 years. And they really understand why they are the way they are. But yet, for some reason, they're unable to move forward in their life. They're unable to change. And it's because they're stuck. And that's why this is so important, to be able to release people's emotions and triggers that have not been resolved since childhood. Because in the present, even though they're not aware of it, that's what holds them back in life. I would like to give you one interesting experience that happened with me in 92. The coach from UCLA track and field sent me one of his athletes, his premier athletes, and he was ranked fourth in the world, the fourth in intermediate hurdles, Kevin Young. And the coach said for the last 4 years, he hasn't improved. He's at the prime of his life. He works out, he eats right, and yet he's not improving, and he should be improving. So I checked him out, and with this technique, neuroemotional technique, and I had him stick out his arm. I tested strength in his arm, a kinesiological test, and I had him make the declarative, I'm okay winning. And he was able to hold his arm up. It didn't go weak. If there was some kind of problem in his subconscious, his arm would have went weak. But he was okay with winning. So I'm kind of looking at this guy. He looks like a world-class athlete, but yet he doesn't fulfill his potential. He's not performing the way he should. And so I spent a week tossing and turning on it after I corrected his alignment, of course. And I was thinking, well, what could it be? What could it be? And it came to me, well, if he's okay with winning, maybe he's not okay with losing. So that seems so ridiculous. It seems so silly, because I'm not okay with losing. You're not okay with losing. Nobody's okay with losing. But when he came in, I had him stick out his arm, measured his strength. He was strong as a bull. And I had him say, I'm okay losing. He couldn't hold his arm up. Mm. So going through this procedure, this technique, this very gentle, natural way of finding out where the common denominator, where the original trigger is, it came out in this particular situation 4 years ago, when he had come in fourth in a meet, he was dejected. And when he went back into the next meet and the following meet, when he lined up, he had this fear that he was going to lose. He had this fear that he was going to come in fourth. So he was stuck. He was manifesting his own emotional complex.
Yes.
And I cleared him for it. And after that, every competition he went to, he became more and more relaxed, to the point that in 1992 in Barcelona at the Summer Olympics, he not only won the gold medal, but he broke the world record. He broke Edwin Moses' world record in the immediate hurdles. And as of today, since 1992, he still holds the world record in the hurdles. And it's the longest record in track and field.
Congratulations, Mike. I'm glad that's a great story. Now, our listeners are, I'm sure, unfamiliar with some of the things you're bringing up. So let's take a moment to just run this tape back for a minute, because this is very interesting. Because you're using some words that you use every day that you're very familiar with, but I know a number of our listeners are like, what the heck is he talking about, kinesiology? What's this arm thing he's talking about?
Those
are two questions, kinesiology, arm, they're related, obviously. And then the other one is, you said another word, which is clearly very reasonable and understandable on one level, but from a practical application point of view, we want to know what cleared means. So let's hit cleared in a moment. Please share with us a little bit about kinesiology and how you were actually working with this gentleman.
Okay, kinesiology is another word for muscle testing. So if you go to a physical therapist, they'll test your muscles and check your strength. But in chiropractic, we have what's called applied kinesiology, and we check to see how the muscle relates to the body. We'll check muscle strength and correlate that to different how the organs are functioning. So when I say I tested his strength, he just holds out an arm, I test the strength of the arm, and then with a person, the patient makes a statement. If the arm goes weak, because it had already tested strong, if it goes weak, that shows me there's some kind of interference between the conscious and the subconscious. If there's no interference in the subconscious, the arm will remain strong. It's only a temporary weakness, but that's how we measure. It's kind of like a live biofeedback. Rather than using a liar detector test, we can just do a simple muscle test. And clear means it's another word for release. What I'm saying is that everyone has emotional issues or feelings that they've experienced in their life, and for whatever reason, they weren't 100% were able to work through it. And while it may not be on our conscious mind, there are situations in the present that can re-trigger those past and interfere with our performance in the present.
Okay, so how does a person clear a person? How do you, as a chiropractic professional, did you do an adjustment on his back?
We use a very gentle instrument. It's called Activator. It's a spring-loaded instrument. There's no manipulation. It's just kind of like a tapping acupressure, and we do it along the spine. And when somebody's holding a memory, that's the part of the technique. When you find the original memory where the emotional complex was created, when you find that original memory, if you tap along the spine, it causes like a diffusion. It causes like this release of the positive charge. So the memory is not gone, but the positive charge is gone, which basically it's been neutralized.
How can you locate that, Mike? Sorry to interrupt, but I mean, there are two things. With my background, can you palpate that area, or then
how
do you find it, and then how do you actually identify?
When you test their strength, when they've made a statement, and you find that there's some kind of interference in the subconscious, what you do then is you just do these body reflexes on the front of the body. You check which organ it is, where it's located. So say if it's the liver, that's where the original memory is. From acupuncture, it's a combination of things. From acupuncture, we know the liver is related to anger. The gallbladder is related to resentment. The stomach is related to disgust or distrust or discontent. The spleen is like low self-esteem. The large intestine is dogmatically positioned. The lungs have related to grief. So we find which organ is involved. And this is where it gets a little hokey. It gets a little woo. But when you have the experience, it's not like you take a weekend seminar. You have to work with it a little bit. But when you find the organ, you find the motion, you can do this muscle testing of the arm. And you can ask the body, 0 to 5, 5 to 10, 10 to 15, 15 to 20. And you find out the exact age. And it absolutely, people, their mouths completely open up when I say, well, what happened to you when you were 12 years old? You had some kind of frustration with your mom. And the people just kind of like, oh, my God, she didn't want me to start dating or this or that. Or there was some, my parents got divorced or, it's not always a traumatic thing. But it's a memory that people just like, oh, my God, they haven't talked about that for 20 years.
So they're locked on the memory, and the memory takes them to a previous time.
Right.
And then what happens is they can't deal with real time in the current moment because they're locked in that past time for whatever reasons.
Exactly.
So then let's be a little more clear, if you will. Sorry to interrupt you, but I want to get this down a little bit more because I've heard people talk about it circumstantially, but not in detail. So you're going through arm motion while you're asking these questions. Is that the way you actually identify it?
Yes. Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah. We say we're talking to the body.
Very interesting. So then his clearance on that gentleman who set the record, you actually found something. I'm not going to ask you what it was, but you found something by doing kinesiology. You localized it, then you freed him. Now, how did you free him? That's the question.
Well, yeah, when I took him back to the time when he first lost a big competition and he had come in fourth, I brought him back to that memory, and then I did this acupressure tapping along his spine while he held the memory. He had the snapshot in his mind with the feeling that he had. So that's the technique. You go to the memory, you'll hold a snapshot photo in your mind with the feeling that somehow stuck in the body. And you do that together with tapping along the spine, and it releases it. It releases the positive or negative, in this case, a negative charge.
Very, very interesting. So that is the, and say what that technique, that's NET.
Yes, neuro-emotional technique.
Well, you mentioned another one that was NEAT.
NAET.
Sorry Nate. About that. I looked at
it's
it.
Okay.
I'm unfamiliar with it. How does that relate?
Well, that's another technique I use. That's kind of what makes me different. I use a combination of techniques. I'm a technique junkie. So
join the club.
You know, when I would go to seminars and learn how to build my practice, I always ended up in a technique class because mm-hmm. I'm trying to find the answers. What turns me on is getting results. I want to get results. I want to get people get better as quickly as possible. I just want to, and I'm focused on solutions. And, you know, every day I'm checking science daily, see what research is being done. And there's no, every day I check medical news today to see what the medical doctors are doing. I check the alternative sites like SOT, Signs of the Times, Mercola.com, and I listen to doctor radio on Sirius XM because they're talking about current procedures, whether it's cardiology, dermatology, or plastic surgery. You know, I want to hear exactly where they're at, what the state of the art is as they're practicing, and, you know, how I can be of benefit in that.
Well, so then pop over a little bit. I don't want to interrupt because you had a nice flow going and I brought this whole other idea in. Did you have anything more that you wanted to mention on the NET as a protocol?
No. I just think my whole point with the neuroemotional technique is that it was a real big revelation for me to find that emotions, maybe outdated emotions, something that you haven't thought about in 20 years, is actually driving the mind.
Well, that's so true. So then let's do jump to that next acronym, NAET. What's that one about?
Okay, that's the allergy technique. And that happened, I had just been exposed to the NET, and I went down to San Diego to actually learn the technique, and I sat next to the lady who discovered this other technique called NAET. And NAET is an Indian nurse who became an acupuncturist and chiropractor, and now then she went to medical school, and her name is Nambu Dripat. So it's Nambu Dripat's allergy elimination technique. And why that is so good is because it treats food allergies or food sensitivities. 1991, when I learned this technique, that was not part of this discussion. Today, you know, it seems like everybody's gluten intolerant. Today, you go to Costco, they have gluten-free shampoo. I mean, it's like unbelievable. Yeah. And, you know, with genetically modified foods and all this other stuff going on, people are just, you know, you say you have food allergy, but if they do a delayed food reaction, or what we would call food sensitivity, like the Alcott test or something like that.
Like IgG.
IgG. If they do that, they find out they have 25 things that they're reacting to, and that's why they can't lose weight, or why they got this microinflammation going on, or what it explains why they're getting migraines. So today, I mean, maybe when you go in for your standard visit, the medical doctor might not want to do that right off the bat. But it's pretty mainstream now, I think, food sensitivities and food allergies. And the medical approach, if you have food allergies, is avoidance. So if you're lactose intolerant, forget about pizza for the rest of your life, or you could take some, you know, supplement enzymes or something like that. But for the most part, if you have a food allergy, the recommendation is avoidance. And that's hard. That's really, really hard. So this technique is really wonderful. Again, it's kind of like an acupressure, gentle tapping while the person is holding whatever they're allergic to. And once that treatment takes, then they have to avoid the food or the substance for 24 hours, and then their body seems to be reset. and they no longer react. Now, in an ideal world, it'd be nice if you could do one of the, you know, it would happen every time, one time. But as it goes, it always gets complicated, as you know. It's never that simple. And people have, say, like somebody has a reaction to gluten. They may react to wheat. They may react to certain types of wheat. They may react to yeast. They may react to sugar. So to do a simple wheat allergy, you may have to check 15 different things. So, you know, sometimes it's simple. Sometimes it's really complicated.
Well, one of the things we see, because we do a lot of IgG testing, and we haven't done it in the same manner that you have. We just do blood, and we take a look at it. And we see so many people, you know, if you drive down the Pacific Coast Highway in California, and you've been out there, it's gluten all up and down the entire Pacific Coast Highway. But we've done really hundreds of them in our office, and the IgG testing, that is. And by far, the most prominent one that we've seen is milk, far more than gluten. I had an interesting conversation with Dr. Osborne in an earlier. Dr. Peter Osborne's a nationally prominent individual who's written several books on pain and inflammation and IgG issues. And so that was a very interesting conversation. But back to you. You actually then are applying, if I'm getting this correctly, you're actually taking some of the technique from the neuroemotional technique over to this immune system dysregulation to identify it and then break it up in the same way that you were breaking it up to clear them for the NET. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, see, it's one thing to learn a technique, but what I've done is not only learn half a dozen techniques, but I combine them. I kind of made it one big pie. So it really helps to, because every technique as it stands by itself is effective and gets something done, but not one technique handles everything. Mm-hmm. So by combining the techniques, I can get a much more powerful response.
Well, this is a big question for a whole nother meeting. It may take us 2 hours to tease this one apart. But just give us a little couple of sentences on how you determine when to move between different techniques, what the criteria would be, what treatment failure looks like on an NET, that you might have to then go to an NAET intervention.
Okay.
Sorry. It's a big question, but it's, you know, I'm sure everybody's listening. This is a very interesting conversation. I mean, the question is, how do you differentiate it?
Okay. Well, you know, I combine education and experience. What I can do now, I couldn't do 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. And 30 years ago, when I graduated, I liked to think that I was doing a good job. Yeah. But if somebody came in with back pain, I would think, okay, 3 months, a couple times a week, and they'll be where they want to be. And now when they come in, it could take 3-4 sessions, and they'll be in, get relief. But again, they'll be the person that doesn't respond at all. And so that's what I kind of like. I spent the last year trying to figure out why people don't respond. Mm-hmm. I spent days and nights, and, you know, I racked my brain trying to figure it out. I mean, it's easy to say, well, they're just not ready to get better. Well, what does that mean? Yeah. They're coming in. They want to get better. Well, the patient has resistance. Where's the resistance coming from? Where's the self-sabotage? I mean, I sense these things. I read these things. The patient doesn't want to get better. No, they're paying. They want to get better. So, you know, I've given a lot of thought, and I see that underlying trauma can be a reason why people don't respond. You know, somebody that's been raped or molested or has experienced physical beatings, they're not going around talking about it. They kind of stuff those feelings, those emotions. And so they're not really, you know, somebody comes in, they say, I have this neck pain for going on 2 weeks. Woo! You don't know what you might be getting yourself into just by going ahead and doing a quick manipulation. So what makes me different is that besides those things that I've, schooling and taking lots and lots and lots of seminars and reading on my own, studying on, I found out when I was around 42 that I was intuitive, because I learned this other technique called BEST, bioelectrosynchronization technique. And with that technique, I was able to tap into the body's energy. And I have a way, I look at the body as like a biocomputer, and just with the muscle testing, you get strong and weak. I can do also type of testing where I get yes and no. I can't ask a question and get a dissertation or an answer like, you know, this is what the weather's going to be tomorrow. But I could ask, is this person's complaint, is it emotional? Is it nutritional? Is it biochemical? Is it structural? Is it electrical? I can just do a simple muscle test and ask yes or no what it is. So, and that's where the improvement every year comes with my practice, is that every year I get a little bit more honed in, a little bit closer, trying to get to the core of things. Feingold back in the 70s said that kids with ADHD should not be having food colors, foods with coloring or food additives. And in the 70s, that was way, way, way out there. Okay. And, you know, today that would be like, okay, that's not the answer to ADHD, but, you know, that doesn't make it incorrect. He was
definitely relevant. Yeah.
He was definitely relevant. And when you do this IgG test, you find out that people react to colors. Kids are reacting to additives and preservatives and pesticides and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. So I basically used the traditional education, the experience, and access the intuition to get some answers. An interesting thing with ADHD is that I got to the point after 6-7 years, I gave up on it. I would treat a child and I would clear them for sugar or release their body's reaction, their sensitivity or their allergy to sugar. I would treat them for optimal vitamin absorption and I would see improvement. And after 3 months, once a week for 3 months, even the parents would say to me, I think he's getting better. But once the child had a meltdown at school or had a tantrum at home, the parents gave up. They said, it's not working. Not realizing maybe there was just some more issues we hadn't gotten to. And, you know, I kind of felt like maybe the parents didn't use enough discipline. So I kind of gave up on it. And if somebody asked me, do you treat ADHD? I would say, no, I'm sorry. That's not something I do. And then one of my patients told me about William Walsh, Bill Walsh, yeah, and his book, Nutrient Power. So, I run and go to Amazon, order it, and I read it. I couldn't put it down. To me, that was mind-boggling, that he had 10,000 cases of ADHD. He had a million documented blood tests and urinalysis, and he could isolate what were the components, what he found, whether it was schizophrenia or bipolar or depression, the commonalities, what were imbalances in the biochemistry. And so I took his protocol and I figured, okay, let me check this out. And the next time, it was a few months later, a grandma comes in with her grandson and says, you know, he's got ADHD. Can you help him? I said, well, it's possible. So I checked him out and I go through the 6 or 7 things that Dr. Walsh talks about. And what came in, I mean, it hit me. Boom. It's copper overload. The source of the problem is copper overload. Mm-hmm. I go, okay, so let me balance it out. So with the NATE technique, non-food triploids algae technique, algae elimination, even though it's called algae elimination, I can balance hormones and help vitamin absorption. What I did was with that technique, I balanced the copper. And when the child came back 2 weeks later, he was dramatically improved, like 70% better. So I was like blown away because I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know if anything was going to happen.
Now say that again. Pardon me for interrupting because you got my curiosity up. I don't know if you know that I'm really interested in Walsh myself. We've interviewed him 3 times here.
He's brilliant.
He's a deep player and he's a regular guy on top of it.
Yeah. Now he no.
If you want to listen to an interesting episode, we've got 3 one-hour episodes with him. One at corebrainsjournal.com 025, one at 034, and another one at 042. Now, and I've done some of this work myself, but I want to hone in on what you just said because it's terribly interesting. My thought, if somebody's high in copper, would be, you know, use zinc and other supplements to balance that copper out based on Bill Walsh's recommendations. Those are really in 034, the copper cryptopyrrole interview. But what did you do again? I want to hear how you did that, because that was interesting, but it went by me pretty fast.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about the allergy technique, and I was saying I use the allergy technique in different ways. I'll use it also to balance hormones or help with vitamins. Sometimes people don't absorb their vitamins. And so I can treat them by them holding it, a sample of the product.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
I treat their nervous system, that it reprograms their body so that they absorb it or balance it. And with the copper, I use that approach to balance the copper, to bring it down.
So did you use copper, or did you have them hold zinc in their hand, or what?
Hold copper. Had them hold copper.
And so when they held the copper, internally they developed a compensatory balance based on holding the copper.
What would happen is, if I muscle test a strong muscle, had them hold copper, the strong muscle would go weak. That showed me there's some kind of interference or some kind of imbalance going on. Mm-hmm. And by treating their nervous system, their meridians, and you could possibly say even their circulation, because the blood vessels all go along the spine too. By doing that, I reprogrammed the body to not have the overload, to balance it out.
See, that is that. Yeah, you are certainly out of the box on that one. No question.
Well,
but that's interesting. Now, do you put a penny in their hand or a copper pot? What do you do? I got to get the picture.
No, it's a copper, just a sample of copper, just like a piece of copper, just a piece of copper.
Piece of copper sheet or something like that.
Yeah. And the next person that came in, I did the same thing, a boy with ADHD, same thing happened. And it happened a half a dozen times in a row, dramatic improvement just by balancing the copper. Now, as you know, it can be real complex. And I didn't say that did the whole trick. There's also the diet, avoiding certain things. We always check wheat and dairy. And there's always emotional issues, anger, frustration. And then you get into, they probably need some fatty acid supplementation. That I would, you know, if they test strong, I know they can absorb it, but they just may be low in it. So they need to supplement with the actual fish oil, fish fatty acid. Mm-hmm. So now I would, you know, and with Dr. Walsh, he has 10,000 cases to draw on to give his information. I have six. So I realize, you know, this is something I may go to my resting place with, but I'm very encouraged that if we had more people like him finding out what components we need to look at. And I think his big contribution is really that nutrition can override the genes, because we're all kind of like right now genetically predisposed, and everybody's kind of really concerned about being genetically predisposed. But if vitamins can override it, then we don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the big contributions he's made is, you know, I've been interested in genetic single nucleotide polymorphisms for 20 years now. And there was a long period of time in my professional life, we couldn't measure them. They were just cost prohibitive. Cost $1,000 to look and see what was going on with the cytochrome P450 system. And now for $50, you can pretty well get a whole rundown on what's going on with the genetic aberrations. And so what happens is I see people sort of going off a little bit too intensely on, as you just qualified a moment ago, on one measurement, and then missing the larger picture of what's going on with the entire changes regarding methylation and overmethylation and all that sort of thing. So I'm hesitating because I don't want to get too deep into it, but this is where it's going. It's a complexity. And one of the things that's wonderful about talking to a guy like you is you have a different level of complexity that you're bringing to the table. It's interesting.
Thank you.
You know, I'll tell you, I'm not going to be doing it in Virginia Beach, but the issue is because there's convention and then there's unconventional, and how woohoo is this? What's going on? Let me ask you this question. We have a lot of individuals, and we've had a lot of focus on this program with vets, PTSD and traumatic brain injury. What's your experience working with folks who've had those kind of injuries, those kinds of experiences with these techniques?
Well, the technique I use for that is somebody comes into me and says they have post-traumatic stress disorder, or they happen to tell me they're willing to open up and tell me that they were raped or there was a molestation or something to that effect, or they recently went through a divorce. You know, that how long you've had this pain? A year? Anything happened a year ago? Oh, yeah, I got divorced. Or a death of a loved one. If there's any type of trauma, I use EMDR. And that's a psychologist's technique where they move like a pen and move your eyes back and forth when you're thinking of the trauma. And that can desensitize the trauma. So to me, you take any person that comes back from Iraq or Afghanistan, if they had any type of trauma, they need EMDR. EMDR there's about 30,000 therapists that utilize it. They've have documented 3 million cases, and it's all related to trauma. And I'm not going to say it's, you know, again, no one technique is the one answer, but if trauma, EMDR, that's the way to go.
See, that's very interesting. I'm glad we got a chance because I was going to ask you about it earlier, and we're kind of running out of time here a little bit. We did cover it. And that is another one that a lot of people are going to think, well, what is EMDR? Eye movement desensitization and
processing and reprocessing.
So,
yeah. So what they're saying is some traumatic memory, that picture is stuck in their brain. And when you hold that picture in their you have them follow their eyes with, say, like a pen or a light, going back and forth while they're holding that picture, it desensitizes that impact of that memory in the brain or the mind.
Yeah, it's totally interesting. We have several practitioners in our practice that do it, and then the next one closely associated is neurofeedback. We don't have time to get into that, but
neurofeedback. I remember back in the 80s. I mean, neurofeedback has 30,000, 50,000, 100,000 positive results for people, but it's just not part of mainstream.
Yeah. Well, times are changing. Listen, what I want to say, Dr. Mike Greenberg, thank you so much for joining us. I do have to bring this to a close because we want to run out of time a little bit here. What I'm going to have is all this information. I'm going to have it coded and set up on the show notes. Please give us, in closing, a way to get a hold of you, where you're best, what's your best recommendation of where to go would be next. Thank you.
Okay. I'm located in Atlanta. I'm in a medical facility. We use a holistic approach. It's called Millennium Healthcare. So if they looked up Millennium Healthcare in Atlanta, they'll be able to find me.
All right. So I'll have that in the show notes. Mike, thank you very much. Millennium Healthcare, I'm writing it down because I don't think I saw it in there. Okay, well, thank you very much, Mike. I'll tell you, it's been great talking to you. We did cover a lot of things. And really, honestly, with a guy like me, I don't think it's that unconventional. I think these are things that people do need to talk about. We need to take it to the public. And I think your point is very well taken. It isn't for everybody, and it doesn't always do it, because I think people are looking for the absolute fix. And what people are increasingly dissatisfied is that there isn't one absolute fix, even with, if you're a medical practitioner, there are other things that we need to know about regarding the connections of mind and body. And if we don't really pay attention to those, we're going to be missing a big part of the picture. So in that, I'm just saying close and thank you very much, Mike. I look forward to talking to you again sometime.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to CoreBrain Journal. We're working every day behind the scenes to bring you reports that connect research benches with those street trenches. Here we share the complexity of mind science because, as you know, details really do matter. One of the most pervasive, misunderstood challenges is how commonplace medications, like those written for ADHD, are used so regularly without clear guidelines. If you think you'd like more specifics, take a minute to download my 2-page PDF packed with video links and references on the absolute essentials of how to start ADHD medications. They're easily available at corebrainjournal.com/start. Thanks for listening. Do connect and stay tuned. Together we can make a difference.